The following is a production of Snake Tree Media. This is Urgent Frequency, the Sonic sit-rep for Urgent Fury, the hottest tactical gamer community on the World Wide Web. And now, here's your host, Commander Claymore Fury.
Hoo-yah, fellow babies! I am Commander Claymore Fury, and this is Urgent Frequency for the week of Sunday, April 18th, 2010. This week, we'll recap the 14 days or so since our last transmission, during which time another name was added to Urgent Fury's Hall of Champions after IMR squared off against War for the Urgent Fury 141 title. Urgent Fury Black got underway without a hitch or any explosives, and we'll wrap up week one of Urgent Fury's favorite No Boon tournament. Plus, because you ask for it, we've got a first look at Splinter Cell Conviction for the Xbox. It's the official podcast of Volcanic Iceland. This is Urgent Frequency.
This is IMR Les.
This is Peter Sasson from War.
And you listen to Urgent Frequency on UrgentFury.com.
The brave men and women in our nation's armed forces made a commitment to protect us and our freedoms. Many will come home with missing limbs, severe burns, or traumatic brain injuries. The Wounded Warrior Project was created to help and support these injured heroes through programs and services that help make their recoveries easier. Regardless of your position on the war, our injured veterans deserve our support. To learn more, call 1-877-832-6997 or visit woundedwarriorproject.org.
Simpler, from 350 plays down to one. The all-new GameFlow system will put you in the helmet of an NFL quarterback to execute an authentic, tailor-made game plan, one play at a time. Quicker, cutting 60-minute game times in half. Spend more time on the field and less in the playbook. Same drama, half the time. Deeper, Madden NFL 11 will reinvent how you play football online. But it doesn't end there. An all-new animation system will deliver the most realistic feeling and looking Madden to date. Simply put, Madden NFL 11 will make every football game before it obsolete. Innovation is simpler, quicker, deeper. Madden NFL 11, August 10th.
Urgent Frequency.
Urgent Fury Black. In tactical speak, the term black has nothing at all to do with color. In fact, it actually refers to the stealthy execution of any number of tactical applications. It means being silent and undetected, regardless of what you're doing. In other words, action speaks louder than words. No fewer than six clans can say they did just that as week one of Urgent Fury's No Boon Brawl wraps up as SCK, KOH, LPK, 101, Red, and 1% all found themselves undefeated as week two got underway. With SCK, KOH, LPK, and 101 all knotted up in first place, while Red and 1% share the 2 spot by virtue of a tie game each. The U and CKS sit in third with a 1-1 record. WDA, D, and FW share the 4 spot at 1-2. Rounding out the field is OSG, Skull and Bones, XIL, and the Ravenfall, who were all looking for their first win of the tournament heading into week 2. On the heels of Urgent Fury's very first mini TAC map tournament, Urgent Fury 141, IMR or the Immortals, and War, the Warriors Clan, can reflect on a tournament filled with fierce competition and even a little controversy. I recently sat down with Pate Assassin of War and IMR's last to discuss the competition, the controversy, and IMR's championship run. All right, guys, welcome to Urgent Frequency. Thanks for hanging out with me. Like I said, I've got IMR's last, or the Immortals' last, and of course I've got Wars, or the Warrior Clan, Pate Assassin. Thank you so much, guys, for making time and being here with me. I didn't think we were going to get this thing done, but we finally got it together. Me and Last were talking football. So what about you, Pate Assassin? We might as well get you to chime in on this.
Well, my team's pretty much a special group of guys that been together for a little while, and you know, we all like to have fun and, you know, win along the way.
How long you guys been together?
Some of us have been in previous clans together, so I'm going to say about 2.5 years or so, and some of our guys are new, so, you know, it's got new relationships.
You guys seem like you're pretty friendly. Do you guys know each other outside of Urgent Fury, or was Urgent Fury where you guys met?
We probably know about all of our members outside of UF, and some of our previous clans played in UF, so that's how we found out about UF, though.
Right on, Lass. Well, tell me about your guys, man. How long you guys been around, and how did you guys find yourself in Urgent Fury?
Well, we've been around now for about 5 years. Day one, SOCOM one, and
that's pretty impressive, man. I can't remember what clan it was I was talking to, but any clan that has lasted that long deserves a pat on the back, because that's no easy task, especially a clan that seems to be pretty successful like you guys.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, what was it? Started out one day with just our, well, now former leader, White Sky, and a good close friend of his, you know. Just started Immortals one day, and since then, we've gone through 5 years of ups and downs, but, I mean, we're happy that we made it over to UF. Myself went back to Immortals. I was part of a different UF clan, and, you know, I was just like, I got to get IMR back in the UF, and so I had to talk to Shane, put in the Hell Week app, and here we are.
Here you are, man, and it led to great things. Assassin, let's talk about you guys. How did you guys find yourselves here in Urgent Fury?
Well, let's see. I'm going to go back to CBS. I don't know if anybody's remembering them, but it was led by a guy named Nika Styles, and I joined up out there in 08 or so, and, you know, I heard about, you know, the Riot Act and all those tournaments and stuff, and after we split up and went to FC, Fatal Corruption, same leader and everything, you know, we were trying to get into the World of War tournaments, but at that time there were no tournaments. And about a year after that, we broke off into War, and, you know, we wanted to come over here and start playing some actual tournaments, and had a lot of fun.
I'm sure you had fun in Urgent Fury 141. We, as I mentioned in the intro, you know, we had our fair share of controversy in this particular tournament. But man, you guys, you stood your ground, and you both ended up in the championship match. So regardless of the road you took, you both ended up in the place you wanted to end up. And IMR, now I mentioned the controversy, so you know I got to ask you about this. You got any rockets on you?
No, actually, it's a good thing you brought that up. After that little incident, you know, with Swift, which has been, you know, leaked out to everybody in UF, and I believe everybody has listened to it on the previous podcast, that we decided to play this entire playoff. Not one rocket was fired from one member.
Wow.
Against our semifinal round against Show. Both clans agreed not to use a single rocket. And for our championship match against War, neither clan used a rocket for the entire match. We just decided to let's see who the best clan was. No rockets. So there would be no, let's just say, extracurricular activity after a said match about our rocket usage. I think, you know, me and Paid and both IMR and War had a great time in that match, you know, just no rockets, and we just played that team against team, and, I mean, that's how it went. Went five maps. That's how close it came down.
Let's talk a little bit about of course, now IMR, you guys, like I mentioned, you guys beat Shadow Ops. They're kind of a mainstay here in Urgent Fury. And War, you guys beat Rev. Let's talk about the championship match. When you got there, was there any kind of strategy? And either one of you can answer this. Was there a particular kind of strategy that you thought about going into the match? Or was it just, like you said, you know, may the best team win?
Well, I'm going to say we kind of had a basic strategy. You know, we know what kind of side they're going to pick for their maps because, you know, Afghan Demolition is their main map. I know that from playing some scrims with IMR. And so we kind of, you know, came up with a plan, and pretty much the basic plan for each map was rush with tactical insurgents and try to get the objective done as fast as possible. But I think we kind of tried to do that.
Yeah, what about you guys, Lass? Did you guys have any particular recipe for your showing in the championship match?
Well, Actually, we played Afghan Demolition, I want to say, 3 or 4 times in this entire tournament. We only lost one round, so War was actually the first clan to beat us on that map with their strategy. I believe the final score was 3-2. Well,
yeah.
Going into Afghan Domination, I believe we played War twice during the regular season on that map. So we kind of, you know, had a sense of where that map was going to go. So, I mean, we kind of had an understanding about what they were going to do. Just the only problem was we couldn't do what we wanted to do to them. So they ended up, you know, winning the first two maps, which, you know, put us into a hole. There was, after that, I can say strategy went down the drain for us. It was teeth and nail, do what you had to do
right.
in that third and final map because we couldn't go down like that.
And, of course, congratulations to IMR. I mean, I might as well go ahead and get that out of the way. You guys did pull off a victory. The first mini-TAC map champion ever in Urgent Fury. So that's kind of cool. Congratulations. And, of course, congratulations to Worf. You guys held it together. I was watching. I really, honestly, about midway through the tournament, I thought it was going to go one way. And do you now we talked a little bit about the whole Swift thing last. Do you think that had anything... and some people were worried about this, and I can even say that maybe even some of the staff were worried about it. Do you think that the fact that those guys pulled out, they were in second place at the time, do you think that made that big of a difference? Do you think it opened up a door for somebody, or do you think either way, War and IMR would have probably been in the championship match?
Well, at the time, I know we were about third, and Cho would have been fourth at the time. So, I mean, once Swift pulled out, and the door was opened, I mean, you can just check War's record. I mean, for the final, I believe, 2 weeks when Swift was out, War won about every war that they could to make sure they made the playoffs. So, I mean, it was definitely because of Swift pulling out that War, I believe, got into the playoffs. Now, also, when Swift left, we knew we had a pretty comfortable spot in the playoffs. So, you know, we felt like we could give our guys a little rest. So we did lose some more matches than what we're used to, you know, giving our guys a break before the playoffs began. So honestly, I don't know how it would have turned out if Swift would have stayed in there. I mean, if we would have kept falling out, we could have actually missed the playoffs if Swift would have stayed in it. War could have leaped over us. So, I mean, because Swift left, I don't know if that motivated War to, you know, go on their win streak to make sure that they can make the playoffs. And, you know, then it loosened our guys up to thinking, okay, we're in. We don't really need to try anymore type of motive. I mean, if Swift was still there, maybe our guys would have tried harder. I don't know how Swift really affected everything. But in the end, I think you had the four best clans in there. You had Rev number one. You had Show number two. And then, you know, us at three and War at four. I mean, there's no doubting those four clans deserve to be in the playoffs.
What about you, Assassin? I would imagine that once Swift kind of stepped out of the picture, you guys had to be licking your chops. You had to feel like, all right, now we definitely have it. At least you could see the road. I don't know if it was the easiest path to travel, but you guys did go on a tear. Were you guys licking your chops when Swift dropped out?
Oh, definitely. I think Swift was one of our biggest competitors. We played him twice, and after playing them twice, we lost both those games, and after that, it went kind of downhill for a little bit. And then after we found out about the Rockets and stuff, you know, kind of boosted us, you know, try to beat them again, you know, rise against them. And after they left, it kind of, because we had that week, we were figuring out, okay, what kind of games do we need to win, how many, so that we can actually get into the playoff seed. So, yeah, when they left, it helped us out a lot and, you know, got us into the playoffs. I guess I thank them for leaving.
Well, I don't want to spend too much time on that, but it was something I thought about. I wondered if it played into you guys' emotions or just into your mentality approaching the last few weeks of the tournament. Let's talk a little bit about, I started on this a second ago, but let's talk a little bit about the future of both clans. Assassin, we'll start with you. What do you guys got in store for the near future for the Warrior clan?
No, just keep going strong, you know, enter the next UF tournament and, you know, just do as much as you can, keep our guys busy, hopefully try to win the next tournament. If not, it's all right, you know, it's all about fun, you know, everyone wants to have fun and also win along the way. So I don't know. We're just gonna, you know, find some new guys. You know, get a bigger family going here, and hopefully take the goal for the next time.
I like the way you called it a family, because a lot of people, especially people who are either new to tactical gaming or clan-based gaming, or some people who just worry about their rank, they don't realize that, like IMR, I mean, you said you guys have been together since day one, SOCOM 1. I mean, there's got to be some friendships there that go far beyond gaming. I mean, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I believe a good portion of our clan, starting from the leader to several members, all live in the same area of Ohio, so that, I mean, they get together regularly. We do have, you know, people farther out, far west coast. I'm on the far east coast. We have some Canadians even, but, you know, whenever those core guys can still get together, they always do. And we always seem to, no matter if it's a competitive shooting tac map type of game, or it's, you know, bumper car 3000 on PSN store and we're playing that, no matter what we're doing, we always have fun together. And I think that's what you really need, is, you know, people enjoying being around each other in order to have a clan last for so long. I mean, if you don't like the person you're playing with, you're not going to stay together for that long of a time.
Oh, I totally agree with that, man. And I think it is important, mainly because you invest yourself in each other. And if you care about each other, you're going to do what it takes to make the team better. So let's talk about the future of IMR. I know that, I don't know if you want to make an official announcement or if you want to give Urgent Frequency the scoop, but I know you guys have some changes planned for the near future.
Well, the near future for IMR ends in about a week and a half. As of May 2nd, we will be shutting down our website. Those members in the clan who are currently still in IMR Immortals will be going off to do their own things. What led to this was the recent departure of our longtime clan leader, White Sky, who's decided to go to work on his business full-time. Due to that and, you know, shrinking availability by most of our clan members, we've decided that, you know, this is the best time to shut down the clan. We'll go out on top. We don't have any plans to remake IMR when SOCOM 4 comes out or the next big shooting game. There are those core members that are still active. I mean, we're not all throwing our PS3 out. So I know myself and a couple other members are looking at different options that are available to us. And we're always looking towards the horizon.
Right on. Well, that's beautiful, man. I think you're going to make me cry. But regardless of what happens, man, good luck to you and yours. We'll wrap this up. Like I said, man, first of all, congratulations to both clans. I guess this is a production note. We had a tough time getting together for this, and I know you guys have busy schedules just like I do. Even though our podcast is late this week, boys and girls, I'm really sorry about that, but I think it worked out for the best, because I really wanted to get both clans on, both you guys on here together, and I appreciate you taking the time. What do you guys want to say to Urgent Fury?
I want to say thanks for the opportunity. I know the Immortals clan has not always been received well out there in the gaming community. I'm not going to go into our past so much, but I know Shane took a big step in letting us come back to Urgent Fury. So I want to personally thank Shane and the other UF directors. And I know our time at UF has been fun. I'm personally thankful for all the new friends I've made, and I will personally still be around UF. So definitely looking forward to the future.
All right. What about you, Assassin?
Thanks for all the UF directors that put this tournament on. You know, it was a lot of fun, and can't wait till the next tournament comes out. Hopefully we live here, you know, for a while and play together for a long time. You know, I mean, UF is a great community, and hope to see it last.
Well, listen, again, gentlemen, thank you for spending your Thursday night with me. And, of course, I thank everybody else out there. Hopefully they'll feel like that they know our friends in the Immortals and the Warriors clan. Where can they find you said the Immortals are going by, but where can they find you on the web, though, if they want to go check you out?
That would be www.imrclan.com.
Come and visit.
Next week, you can find us. So.
What about War? Where can we find you guys on the web?
You can find us at www.thewarriorsclan.net.
When we return, a revamp of one of gaming's greatest stealth shooter franchises has Xbox fans buzzing and the bad guys trembling. It's a first look at Splinter Cell Conviction for the Xbox and PC. And it's next.
Boofat Flashback. Flashback.
Everybody poops. In fact, it's one of the most primitive functions of the human body. Hi, I'm Dick Rubin, Chief Dietary Counselor for the Clean Uprising Center for Colorectal Health. And nobody understands how important colorectal health is more than we do. When you become irregular, it affects everyone around you. It can create problems at home, at work, even that big family vacation you've been planning for months. Truth is, most of us are unaware of the many parasites and toxins that actually reside in the intricate and delicate plumbing of our colons. It's time to break through the colorectal barrier in your life. Clean Uprising Colon Clear is the solution. Colon Clear is an all-natural, concentrated formula designed to both clear and cleanse your colon without harming delicate tissue. If you order today, we'll send you a free sample of our special Clean Uprising Colon Mints. Visit www.cleanuprising.com today and discover how to turn your pooper into a party.
You know, my kidneys feel a lot better in this position. Maybe it's just that I'm not doing any calisthenics. You know, if I did some sit-ups in the morning or bent over like this, I'd probably feel 100% better. Moon River.
Urgent. Frequency.
Because a lot of you have emailed me begging for more Xbox content, and because Sam Fisher is just so darn cool, we tapped into GameTrailers.com, where we found the scoop on the rebirth of a stealth espionage powerhouse, as everybody's second favorite super spy gets a second chance at a first impression.
Sam Fisher has been out of action for years now, but if Splinter Cell Conviction proves anything, it's that Ubisoft still is a dog in the stealth game fight. With a fresh approach to predatory prowling that's bolstered by the trappings of the third echelon, Fisher's homecoming is one to remember.
You're playing around.
Sam Fisher, you know, is dead. America killed him, asked him to make one sacrifice too many, cross one line too far.
From the get-go, Conviction lays down the theme of betrayal thick. You learn early on that Fisher's story will take you to some harrowing places, though, of course, it's presented in a manner that keeps you guessing the whole way through. Splinter Cell veterans will know the lay of the land and be reacquainted with some familiar faces. Anna Grimm's daughter plays a big role, but newcomers, frankly, will be lost. Thank goodness for the game's foolproof waypoint system.
Andrew Coben. Were you saying something about my daughter?
Top-notch voice acting and some clever graphical techniques work in tandem to deliver the story well. The film projector effect employed in many of the flashbacks does a good job of keeping the tangents in a non-intrusive context, though they can sometimes feel a bit heavy-handed. But if you've been with the series a long time, rest assured Conviction is a gripping new chapter in the Splinter Cell saga, one that brings home the dizzying machinations of an alphabet soup of top-secret government agencies to a more personal place for Fisher. And yes, questions are answered.
Grim, let me remind you, I'm out of the game.
Moreover, the co-op campaign story, which serves as an epilogue to Fisher's tale, is a real treat, with a truly shocking conclusion.
It's over, Bykoff. You're done. Understand?
While Splinter Cell Conviction does certainly involve a lot of sneaking around, you'll feel more empowered than ever when your cover is blown. In setup, it's just about what you'd expect. You prowl through a gang of scenarios spread across 11 distinct environments, ranging from war-torn sites of Fisher's past to some of America's most hallowed halls of power. Conviction is about more than mere infiltration, though. More often than not, your primary task, above and beyond your actual mission objective, is to take out everyone who can do you harm. And in doing so, make as little noise as possible. Bringing to mind Arkham Asylum, every room is a puzzle to solve, and you do so by clearing it of enemies, or at least eliminating enough of them so as to be able to slink into the next checkpoint unmolested. And just like Batman, Fisher won't hold up under heavy gunfire. Luckily, he's also got plenty of tools that diminish the need for direct confrontation. Through a combination of sonar goggles, which allow you to mark enemies through obstacles and track their locations as they patrol, and a handful of gadgets pulled straight from the third echelon's armory, you're able to emerge unscathed from any pinch, given patience and careful consideration. A large part of the fun in Conviction is figuring out which precise combination of gadget and subterfuge will allow you to most effectively win the day. It actually manages to make the trial and error inherent to this sort of approach feel quite gratifying a lot of the time.
Black Arrow's supposed to have this sector locked.
Fuck me!
Behind the scenes, there's an in-game achievement system that rewards you for acts of stealth and bravado with upgrade points you can apply to weapons and gadgets throughout all the game's modes. Weapons can be tricked out, often giving them entirely new features like scopes and suppressors, and gadgets can have their areas of effect increased. All told, you'll spend around 8 to 10 hours in the single-player campaign. Once you're done, there's a separate co-op campaign to play through, taking place across four unique environments, which will last you another 4 to 6. Far from being a rehashed throwaway, the co-op game feels like a coherent companion to the single-player, with its own story, characters, and an endgame that you won't soon forget.
You don't know who you're fighting with, you hear me? You're a dead man!
A few standalone challenge-type modes round out the package. These deniable ops missions, as they're called, can be played solo or cooperatively and work under familiar rules. In Last Stand, for instance, you have to defend a vulnerable EMP device from waves of AI attackers, while in Face Off, you have to take out a player-controlled spy whilst evading computer-controlled enemies. Though it can sustain a more muscular playstyle than some other stealth games, rolling through guns blazing doesn't often yield good results in Splinter Cell Conviction. Yes, you'll do plenty of killing, but you have to do it on the game's terms. This becomes second nature once you get a handle on the game's mechanics. At the crux of the game is the mark and execute system. After you dispatch an enemy in a handful of specific ways, most commonly a straight-up stealth kill, you'll gain the ability to mark a number of targets on your HUD and systematically dispatch them at your leisure. This isn't limited to enemies. You can mark environmental objects like chandeliers or oil drums to create deadly booby traps. With time, you start to view the capability to execute as too precious to squander. Depending on what weapon you're holding, you'll be able to mark differing numbers of targets. And it's very tempting to hoard your free kills until all your marks are in clear view to execute, though the game fudges a little bit for you in cases where a target goes behind cover after you've initiated an execution. The system succeeds in encouraging you to play more patiently and vary up your approaches. Used artfully, gadgets greatly complement the careful, ruthless playstyle. When you're spotted, enemies converge on your last known position, which is marked by a translucent silhouette that remains visible and begging to be exploited. Whether you drop a remote mine on the spot or a sticky cam rake to explode opposite it, the possibilities for devious takedowns are many. The enemy AI is generally smart enough to duck when you miss a headshot, but you'll find yourself rolling your eyes when enemies march right past you, obscured by the measliest of shadows. The game switches to black and white when you're in the cover of darkness, and while this is a good incentive to shoot out all the lights you can, it feels like the game registers this in too binary a fashion at times.
Got a minute to talk.
Get away from me!
Splinter Cell looks decent enough to sell you what it's pushing, but it's no technical marvel. Most of the characters don't hold up too well under close scrutiny, and you'll spot many a blocky, primitive-looking model. It's a good thing these elemental shapes suit the environments. What redeems it, partly, is the way it uses light. When you slip from deep cover to well-lit environment, the way the light bleeds on screen will make you feel exposed and momentarily panicked. It's a great effect. Just like prior games in the series, the music is minimal, but picks up when you cause a ruckus, and doesn't relent until you've killed everyone who knows you're there. This can get tiresome when you actively choose to slowly slip away rather than clear the area. The voice work, as mentioned, is top-notch. Michael Ironside marks his return as Fisher, and the gravelly tough guy is as mesmerizing as ever.
You understand me? I will kill you!
Dan, I've been lying to you about this for years.
With Conviction, the Splinter Cell series expertly keeps pace with the way stealth games are ploddingly evolving. It even throws in a few flourishes of its own. The result is a great stealth game that's well worth experiencing, even for newcomers to the series. You may be lost amidst all the name-dropping, but if you buck up and follow the ever-present waypoints, they're sure to lead you to dark, exhilarating places.
Ah!
Splinter Cell Conviction. Available now for the Xbox and PC. Well, that just about wraps things up for yet another week of You Freakiness. But before I go, don't forget that you can network with us via Twitter, the official Urgent Fury blog, Urgent Fury Unleashed, and, of course, on our web channel at YouTube.com. Urgent Fury is produced by Urgent Fury Holdings and right here in the studio by Allison Armstrong. Special thanks this week to GameTrailers.com and Spike TV. I'm Commander Fury. Until next time, keep your feet wet and your powder dry. Hoo-yah!
I wanna do bad things with you. I'm the kind to sit up in here.